is rich or a sports star. No. Average common people have the most amazing testimonies that there is. All we got to do is just stand up and give them and live them out. There are three essentials that must operate before you can expect anyone to check you out in your testimony. And that is, number one would be your character. Character need to be sealed. Need to be sealed, because what you are on the inside is so much more important than what you are on the outside. I might look like I'm not much, but you just seeing the exterior. See the interior, see the inside of me, what's on the inside of me, then you'll get to know me. You don't know me just because you see me sitting in church and crying every Sunday. You don't know me. You need to get to know me up close and personal. The inner me is what God is looking at. By looking at somebody on the outside, hey, you, the way you look and the way you act sometimes, only a mama could love you. Nobody else could, because you just don't look like it. You don't act like it. But what's on the inside of you is what counts. When you get to know me, when I get to know you up close and personal, then it will be all right. My character needs to be sealed. And then your life conduct. And that's so important. What you do in life situations, how you react when difficult times come your way. Do you shut up and you run away from it? Or do you stand there shoulder to shoulder and say, here I am, life. Come take your best shot. Because I'm standing on the word of God. If you're going to have a victorious testimony when you can have these things in place. Not what your lips say, but what your life lives. Your life, the testimony that you give, don't just talk about it, live it. That's when you have the testimony. And then there's a conversion. Your conversation must be holy. It must be seasoned with righteousness. You don't talk about junk all the time. You're serious with life. There are time and places for it. But sometimes we need to get serious with our conversation, especially when we're giving our testimony. You need to tell somebody what thus saith the Lord, and then your testimony will mean something. But you got to live it. If all you do is talk, and when I see you, you're living, don't back up, you're talking. No, that's not judging. That's looking under an apple tree for apples. If you're saved, you're saved. Don't care where I see you. If you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite in church. You just got it so well camouflaged, the rest of us can't see it. Or we see it and we don't want you to know. And that's where we are most of the time. We see other people doing things that's wrong, but we don't want them to know. You need to tell them, especially if you call them your Christian brother or sister. Point number two. Have you noticed I didn't tell you how many points I had today? Because I don't want y'all to get up and leave. Point number two. I'll tell you when I get to the last one. Point number two. A well of prayer. You need to leave a well of prayer when you go in the valley. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. Did I tell you where the first point come from? Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 is the first one. That's point number one. Point number two comes from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. A well of prayer. Here the children of Israel were listening to Samuel, and they wanted Samuel to pray for them because they had been contrary to the will of God. Samuel gave them an assurance of God's acceptance of them as his people. God accepts any person who repents and turns to him. It doesn't matter how bad or how wicked you have been. If you repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you. And he'll do that for the sake of his own name. He does not want his name. And if God thinks that about his own name, what should you think of it? The same thing. He will not reject his people, not ever, not even if they turn away from him. He will not reject them. You reject him, he's not going to reject you. The children of Israel sinned against God. God didn't walk off and leave them. They left him. So therefore, when you get in the valley, you need to leave a well of prayer. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You need to leave a well of prayer because somebody's watching you, and they're going to come behind you. And they ought to be able to say, I remember brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so when they was in situations like this, and all they did was talk about how they prayed. They prayed to a God that would not leave them nor forsake them because he was theirs, and they needed to know that he was there with them. God is not like some of us, some of our friends are. God is not a fair-weather friend. When you're in trouble, he's there. When you're on top of the mountain, he's there. He's there all the time. But we need to leave a well of prayer. A well, to some of you young people, is just like a pump. You go there to get water. And in the valley, when you're down there, you need to leave wells so somebody else can come along and draw water. And this is what you need to do. Standing before Samuel and hearing these assurances being preached, the people knew exactly what Samuel was saying. That Israel, the true children of God, true believers, God will not leave them when things get difficult. If you want to know who your real, real, shown up friends are, when you get in deep trouble, Don't see any help anywhere, and you call them, and they have call ID, and they hurry up and answer. They don't let the phone ring because they have call ID and see who it is. Oh, no, he's in a whole bunch of trouble. I don't want to talk to him. No, they answer because they are the true believer. That's the way God is. Don't raise your hands. How many of you have been in a situation when nobody would help you, but you prayed and God helped you? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And some of you are probably saying, I'm there right now. But he will. He will stay. He will help. But you got to stay with him. Don't you be a fair-weather friend to God. When things get difficult, you stay with him. Because he will bring you through. Samuel assured the people of his own prayer for them. Samuel, in other words, told them, said, you may give up on yourself, but I'm going to continue to pray to this God because I believe and I know that he will not leave me, nor will he forsake me. If you call him and you're serious and you are a true believer, God will stop by to see about you. He might send one of his angels, one of his servants, but God will come see about you. Maybe in the form of a doctor or a nurse, but God will come see about you. You got to stay on your knees and pray. Don't quit praying because you've been praying for 9 weeks and you don't have any answer. Daniel didn't pray that long, but he prayed for 21 days. And the angel told him, said, on the first day you prayed, God answered your prayer. But the king of Persia, who is the devil, stopped it all. The devil don't want you to get answers to your prayer. Just keep right on praying, for God will hear your prayer. You need to leave a well in the valley of prayer. You need to leave that well right there. Point number three is found in Psalm 31, verse 24. And it reads, of God's courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in him. Point number three is a well of hope. You got to have hope. David was exhausted over believers, and he was exhausting believers to be recommit themselves to God. You got to have hope, courage. You got to have the hope. It's right there, but you got to keep at it. You got to stay with him, and God will provide just what you need. But in verse 24, David exhorted the saints of God to be encouraged. If you're not a saint of God, you can't be encouraged. But if you're a saint of God, you will be encouraged. David, he will do for us just what he said he'd do. We should press on for the Lord when our enemies are persecuting us. Don't get angry and quit because stuff keep coming your way. You stay with God. God will provide just what you need when all else seems to fail. Do like Hezekiah. Turn your face to the wall and call on this God and remind God of the things that you've done. You got to stay with him. You got to have hope. Hope sometimes is all that we have. You got to have hope to go along with your faith. And then after you're hoping, you just got to wait on him. You can't hurry God. You just got to wait because God will provide. And he's an on-time God. He's never late. He's always there. Might not come when I want him, but he'll always be on time. You got to understand that you got to have hope. You got to have hope. You got to leave a well of hope down in the valley. When you go down in there, somebody gonna need a drink, and they got to come along and find just what they need in the valley. Too many believers have made it seem like nothing never go wrong. But I stop by to tell you, don't care how holy you are or how righteous you are, trouble's going to come your way, and you're going to get in a valley, and you're going to need some hope. When you're in the hope, you got to know where your strength lies. It lies in the Lord God Almighty. You got to call on him, and when you call on him, you got to know without a shadow of a doubt that he will stop God to see about you. He won't leave you. He'll be right there. But you got to know. You got to know. You got to know that he's right there. And especially if we are in love with him. I ain't talking about an infatuation. I'm talking about a showing of love. I'm talking about a love that I can't wake up in the morning without telling him how much I love him. I can't eat my food without telling him I love him. I can't do anything. He's all that I need. He's all that I have. Everything that I have is because of him. You got to have hope. For without hope, we're lost. We're lost. And we have to demonstrate our love for God by showing him how much we love him by loving others, especially those that seem to want to mistreat you. You gotta love them. You have to love them. He did not. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one towards another. He didn't say if you like them. I like a snake when he's dead. But he said you got to love them. Well, all men would know that. That's the hope that you have. Point number four is found in Philemon's verse 20. It's only one chapter in that book, so it's one verse 20. Ye brothers, brethren, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Point number four is a well of inspiration. A well of inspiration. Paul wrote this letter to this brother Philemon because his slave had ran away. And he had come to Paul, and Paul was sending him back to his master. And he's telling his master that you need to receive him just like you would receive me. And that's inspiration. Paul said that he would be filled with joy and refreshed if Philemon would receive Onesimus as a partner and not as a slave. Yes. Had stolen from him, ran away, and left him, but Paul is sending him back. Mm-hmm. Onesimus had to have some God in him. To go back into slavery after he had escaped. Just think about it for a little while. Yeah. Paul had to have convinced him that the love of God would get him through whatever it was. Yes, sir. And that's the way that we need to be. One thing that people need above all others is to be received. No matter how wicked you are, you still need to be received by the people that you are around. Even other wicked people need to receive you. That takes some doing. And you can look at somebody else and laugh if you want to, but that's the way you were with God. You were wicked and he came, you came to him and he received you just as you are. Because what's that song? He doesn't see me as I am. He see me as I'm going to be. Because if he would look at you now and hold you to where you used to be, he'd cast you out of his sight. And he'd probably cast me before he would a lot of y'all. But he cast you out of his sight because you were sinful creatures. Onesimus had been unprofitable to his master. But Paul is sending him back to him, telling his master to receive him as a brother, as a partner in the work that you're doing. Not where he used to be, because of what has happened to him since he left you. Paul is telling Philemon, look at his heart and see the change that is within him. And he told him somewhere later on in the photo, he said, receive him as if you are receiving me. If he owes you anything, put it on my tab. That's what Christ did for you and the rest of us when he died. He became our propitiation, meaning he paid our bill in full. He paid it all. Your sins are paid for. If you don't get forgiven, it's not Christ's fault. It's your fault because you will not receive him as Lord and Savior. We need to receive him as Lord and Savior and accept him for who he is and then leave our salvation up to him. He paid the price. He shed his rich, red, pure blood. Right. Not just for you. For every one of you. Mm-hmm. All of us. Right, he died for our sin. Mm-hmm. He did it for us. And he's telling Philemon, because of what happened to Onesimus, It should be inspiration to you because you are a believer and he come from you and now he's coming back to you. This should be an inspiration. This should inspire you to get closer and closer to Christ. When you witness to some people and you see their life change, that ought to inspire you to get closer to God because they are believing what you told them and the life you are putting in front of them. You must continue to tell them and you must continue to inspire people to drink from the well of inspiration. Point number five. A well of restoration. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. A well of restoration. David is saying in this psalm, I am the sheep. God is my shepherd. He could write that from the spiritual side because he had been on the physical side. He had been a shepherd to sheep, and he knew what it was like to care for them. Someone have said that one of the dumbest animals in the whole creation is a sheep. They can do nothing for themselves. They have no defense. There used to be some sheep up there right behind to the side of Crestview High School back in the 80s. And there would be green grass up here. But they had walked and made a rut. And rather than walk up on where the green grass was, they walked in the rut. They couldn't eat there, but if they walked up here where the green grass, they could have been eaten. Yeah, You too. Instead of walking where there's green, flourishing, pretty grass, we walk in the same rut because we've been there so long and we know everything that's there. Get out of the rut and allow God to shepherd you, and he will not lead you in places that you cannot find, you cannot be restored. He'll take you places where you can be restored. God will meet all of your physical needs. He provides the basic necessities, food and water. Sheep will not go to sleep unless things are peaceful around them. If they are not full, they will not take a nap. They'll just stand and mill around. A jackrabbit can come and scatter a whole herd. They have no defense. And that part about the still water, they say shepherds in the eastern country, that they have to, if they find running water, they have to make a little trench off to the side because the sheep won't drink running water. The water have to be still. So see, calling you a sheep means that you are somebody special and he have to care for you. They have no defense. They have all that wool on them. They can't fight. I read one book about sheep. It said that this sheep ate so much that when it went down to take a nap, he couldn't get back up because in order to, he went to sleep with all four paws down on the ground like this, and while he was asleep, he rolled over to the side. And he was so full, he couldn't get up. That's why you need a shepherd. That's why you need a shepherd. So the shepherd come along and stand them back up. When you mess up, roll over somewhere you don't have any business being, God will come straighten you out. He will, but you have to be willing to allow him to let him straighten you out. He will not force you to let him do things. He will. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Whatever has been wrong with me, God can do that. We need to put this well of restoration in this valley. When you leave the valley, you need to leave something in the valley that others can profit from when they come by. Don't say, well, I got out. I don't care if nobody else get out. I got mine. You got to get yours. No, you help somebody else to get out of this valley. But so you need to leave something for them so they can get along as they go through the valley. Because every one of us, whether we know it or not, if you haven't been in the valley, you're on your way. You're on your way. Restored is one of the most frequent used words in the Old Testament because they constantly got out of order, and God had to restore them. And I said, if it hadn't been written in the Old Testament, if we was going to write a new one for us, we need to be restored every day of our lives because there's something that we do that's out of the will of God. And God will restore you, but you have to be in touch with him and know that you need restored. The first somebody to know that I need restoring is me. Nobody else knows it before I do. I know it. And so we need to be restored. For this reason, shepherds led their sheep rather than drove them. When you see shepherds, they are always out in front of the sheep. They are never behind the sheep. John Wayne was a cowboy. He rode on his horse. You did not see him in front of the sheep because he never, I don't remember seeing him herding sheep. But he always was on horses. And the people that had sheep were walking and they had a dog. They had a helper. They had a helper. This is why we need to leave. We can be restored is because we have help along the way. Christ will not leave you by yourself. You cannot go any place that he's not already there. The Holy Spirit is every place. That's the comforter that he left with us. That dog that worked with the sheep herder, he can round that whole herd by himself. The Holy Spirit can bring the whole church into submission to Jesus Christ if we will allow him to. If you get a wild and a crazy sheep, they'll go off by themselves. But Christ can restore us. And in this valley that we get into, we need to leave a well of restoration. That was number five, right? Okay, y'all just hold your horses. Don't get so impatient. I'm about halfway through. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of the people recovered? In this valley, you need to leave a valley of healing. God's people would be judged and exiled from the promised land because they had followed false teaching. Not only would the Babylonians destroy the land and slaughter the people, but they would also exile the survivors. When you get in trouble and you don't know what to do and you get away from what you are supposed to be doing and you listen to something else, then you're walking away from what got you to the place to where you are. That's what happens to the church sometimes. We got where we are because of fasting and praying and living a life that would be pleasing to God. But now I got here and I got 2 pair of shoes and 3 pair of pants and I think I have arrived. I do just like I want to do. You get away from what God have had you to do to get where you are. You need to stay with it. Is there not a balm in Gilead? Yes, there is a balm in Gilead, and there is a physician in Gilead. The balm is Christ, and God is the physician. He is the greatest physician that there is. But when you will not listen to your doctor, you don't want to get well. If the doctor prescribes a medicine for you, you say, well, I'm okay. I don't have to take it. You're right. You don't have to take it. But you have to endure the pain of the suffering that you must go through. Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not healing in this place? If we follow the will and the word of God, there is healing in this place. But we have to line ourselves up with the will of God. Do you know that doctors wouldn't know what they know about the body of God, would not have provided it? The devil is not going to provide that, because that's going to heal you. So he doesn't want you to think that God can heal you. So he's going to constantly tell you, you don't have to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'll put it out there before you. Like I said this morning in Sunday school, they're going to have lunch over there. If they got some banana pudding over there, y'all just try to eat it all before I get there. Because I'm probably not going to eat any of it. I love it when I... But is there healing? Is there a balm in Gilead? God heals us because he puts stuff in our mind to let us know what we need to do and what we do not need to do. But most of us, we have a mind of our own. I'm 21, freeborn and grown. I do just like I want to do. Keep doing it. The balm in Gilead will not do you any good. But there is healing in the valley. And you can leave that healing, that well of healing in there, so someone else can come along and drink from that same well. The people were, in this passage, the people were crushed and bruised and carried to a foreign land, but they stayed, some of them stayed with God. And Jeremiah was one of them, and he wrote it in the scripture that they was going to be there for 70 years, and some of them didn't believe it, but they finally found out in the end that they were there for that long, and they had started believing false teaching. The false teaching was at this time that we're only going to be there for a couple of years. We're not going to stay there for long. The devil will make everything sound so good. You're not going to be sick long. It's just going to be a little while. You'll be better. No. Go with what the word says.
Yes, sir.
Is there a physician in Gilead? Mm-hmm. Is there not a bomb? Yes, it is. That's why you need to leave the well of healing in the valley. I hope I get a chance to try to tie this together for you. If sin causes you to get away from God, sin will keep you where it had you. There's a saying that says sin will take you farther than you want to go, mm-hmm. and keep you longer than you want to stay. So we have to know, you have to want to get away from your sin. In order for there to be a healing in the valley, you have to want to get away from it. If you do not want to get away from it, you will not get away from it. Point number 7. A well of refreshment of all repentance. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshment, repentance, When repentance comes, there seems to be refreshing. I begin to see things different. I begin to see them as God would have me to see them. I begin to see this as this too shall pass, and it didn't come to stay. We need to know that when we go in this valley, there is restoration, there is refreshment, there is repentance. If we stay in this valley, is there not a word from God? There is. If you come to me and believe in me and trust in me, I will provide just what you need. I sent my son to redeem and bring you back to me. So therefore, I must think something of it. Repentance is one of, and don't y'all go farther in sleep with me on this one. Repentance is one of the daily companions of the Christian. Repentance is one of the daily companions with the Christian. You must do that every day for some. I told another night about me with roll-throughs at four-way stops. If nobody's at the other three, I roll through. I start repenting of that because I shouldn't do that. Because there's Brother Ike there, and he's going to be watching me next time, and I might get a ticket. But I'm saying repentance is a daily companion of all believers. Now, y'all laughing at me, but some of the rest of y'all do the same thing. If you don't do it on that, you do it on something else. There's something else. Almost every day, four or five times a day, if you are honest with yourself, you need to repent for something that you did do or that you did not do. So it needs to be a daily companion. We need to leave that well in the valley of repentance so other people can drink from that well. You don't need people to think that you are perfect in everything that you do. There's not a perfect one in here. You can look at somebody else and think how sinful they are, and then somebody else looking at you thinking how sinful you are. When we get refreshed, we get forgiven for things that we've done. If God, the creator and the maker of the universe, will forgive me for sinning against him, why in the name of Jesus the Christ do I find it so hard to forgive my brothers and my sisters? Someone have said it is easier to get heavenly forgiveness than it is to get earthly forgiveness. When we look at other people, the people that we look at, it's harder to get forgiveness from them than it is from God. Because we need to be forgiven because I definitely want, I need God to forgive me for the sin that I've committed. And he talks about that in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. But when you're in the valley, it's hard to think about these things. But I stop by to tell you, just in a normal everyday run of things, you need to leave these seven items that we've named so far in the valley, so somebody else, when they come along, can drink from that well. In biblical days, when they would go to a new area, one of the first things they would do would be make a well. Mm-hmm. Make a well, because they know they would need water. And what they did when they left, they covered it up so the water would be there for the next one to come along. But we don't want to leave nothing in the valley because we don't want other people to know that we have been in the valley. I stop by to tell you, if you ever get on the mountaintop with God, you have been through the valley. You can't get to the mountaintop without going in the valley. And I know in the valley there's plush grass, but a lot of times in the valley you're down in the dumps and nothing seems to be right. But when you're in that valley, you need to leave those things in the valley so somebody else can prosper from them. And that's my last one. You got to have a testimony in the, you need to leave a testimony in the valley. You need to leave a well of prayer in the valley. You need to need a well of hope in the valley, a well of inspiration, a well of restoration, a well of healing, and a well of refreshment. This verse talks about the blessings of people. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and in whose heart are the way of them. This refers to those who do love and rejoice in God, even though they are maybe not be officially in a position of leadership, but they love the Lord. This passage of the pure in heart should be able, the pure in heart should be able to serve God anywhere. If you only have certain places that you can serve God, you need to check yourself. For God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. You need to be able to serve him wherever you go, with whomever you are with, because you have been in the valley. You need to leave some wells in the valley so others can drink of them as they come along. Because where you have been, somebody else is going to be coming. Where you are going now, somebody else have already been. You will not be a place where you are the only person that have ever been there. I'm through. Listen to me. Hear me with your heart.